Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Brandon, look at the clock. You know what time it is? It's 28 minutes after the hour. That means it's time to get this Mully and Haw show on the road.
Wake up! Wake up! Mike Mulligan.
Bears, 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 Bears. Football, football, football.
Mully, you have the greatest voice in radio.
You know what? I'd like to say you're wrong, Mully, but you're not wrong very often.
Mully, you are 1,000% correct.
Can we get a Mulligan, please?
David Haw.
That was one of the best questions you've ever asked.
Yeah, I'm sure it's going to get an answer just as good.
Haw. Oh. Check me out, man.
Chicago Sports Talk for your morning.
Morning, fellas. I got your back, Mully. I got your back, David.
Maybe we can't say the White Sox saved their season last night or this week, but can we say and agree that maybe Josh Harrison did?
How you like me now?
Boy, I gotta tell you, I mean, I believe I DFA'd him earlier in the week.
You did. You weren't on an island there, though. I think it was definitely popular sentiment that Josh Harrison was the guy that should be sacrificed, dismissed, DFA'd, if you will, using that as a verb. But you know what? He heard every critic.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I mean, we see a lot of things, but I'll be honest with you. I don't care what anybody says. I don't play for the motivation of people that don't like me or that do like me. No disrespect.
I kind of still feel that if they get everyone back, that he needs to go.
Well, you know, at the end of the day, those people, hey, they're entitled to their own opinion. And at the end of the day, Godspeed.
Mully and Haw, taking you up to 9 o'clock on 670 The Score.
Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Well, the plot thickens, Mr. David.
Morning, Mully. Happy Thursday.
Happy draft day.
Oh, it's
Are you kidding me?
It is NBA draft day. We're starting early this morning, going late tonight. It's going to be one of those days, big days for the Bulls organization. I've got a piece of paper in my pocket. I'm going full Kevin Costner on
Sonny Weaver Jr.
Yeah, Sonny Weaver Jr. Uh-huh. Good memory there. Rudy Gobert, no matter what.
Rudy go Sox. Rudy go Cubs. Rudy, go Bull.
Rudy.
Let's
the chants are coming.
Here.
Come on now.
Rudy, stay West.
Rudy, come on. Oh,
look at Dustin. Dowsing it again.
Go out and get Rudy Gobert or Rudy go Bull. Come here, Rudy Gobert. I think that they won't make another move, draft, trade, or otherwise, that would be more impactful on the organization than if they packaged their draft pick and traded for Rudy Gobert.
Well, if they get Rudy Go Cats or Rudy Go Irish, depending on how you want to pronounce it, I think it would be a really impactful move. I'm trying not to get too excited. I've been excited about this for about a week, and here we are on the cusp of it, and I keep thinking, if we come in here tomorrow and this team hasn't changed at all, they just drafted somebody at 18th pick, that could be crushing.
Well, it could feel like a letdown. I don't know if I would go so far as to say crushing, but I do know what you mean. You build up these expectations, and maybe we are in the minority here. I don't know about that. But I think that if we come in here tomorrow and the Bulls aren't dramatically different roster-wise than they are at this moment, and they just have added a piece – maybe a very good piece at 18. If they get E.J. Liddell, we'll continue to talk about it today, or a player like that, a rotational piece, okay, fine. But there's going to be that letdown because we have been talking about this possibility, and to take that next step, you've got to be going in that direction boldly. And yes, that's what Rudy Gobert would represent.
Yeah, it's very exciting. And, you know, here's hoping. I think it just makes you engaged, makes you watch, makes you believe that even if they take someone at 18, that guy's about to be traded. But if they announce the trade, if they announce what's going on.
That's it. You look around the NBA, there's deals already being made.
That's right.
Jeremy Grant goes from the Pistons to the Blazers. There's some conversation, consternation, speculation about players, big-name players being moved today. Also, Rudy Gobert, the Hawks are in on those talks with the Jazz because there seems to be this understanding coming out of Salt Lake City. This isn't like just out-of-town stupid. People in Salt Lake City, reports and stories being written in their media about why the Jazz would be wise to move Gobert at this point in their franchise because of all the upheaval.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I just want different. I just want something else to kind of hang my hat on. I don't mean to be rude to Vooch, but, I mean, go ahead. Get somebody that can play some defense because you don't need a guy that can miss a three-pointer for you.
Well,
you just don't.
Report about Vooch wanting a contract extension, very interesting in terms of timing and otherwise because he probably does. He wants some security. And if I were him.
Don't we all?
That's what I was going to say. Who wouldn't want it?
I mean, talk about an idea. You know, he's in the last year of a deal. You know what I'd like? I'd like an extension, please.
Right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
There you go.
Well, he also, I would think, would be resistant to a deal. He wants to stay here, I would imagine, and probably the contract would provide security, but I would just think he can't like this direction these conversations are going because it dismisses his value a little bit or diminishes it.
Well, I mean, yes, so, of course. Play better, Vooch, if you don't want those conversations to go on. It's
but
that simple.
It's not about him, I think.
No.
They're worried about whether or not he belongs or fits. It's about Patrick Williams and whether or not they
that's the problem.
Want to part with a 20-year-old player who was the fourth overall pick in the draft.
That's a problem. To me, it's about Giannis. It's about Joel. It's about matching up with guys that are killing you every time you play their team. And I'm not saying, you know, I know everyone says that the problem with Go Ramblers is that when he gets in the playoffs, he's a guy that that will struggle to score. And so when you're spreading the floor, you don't have to worry about him. I don't think scoring is the problem with the Bulls.
And
I don't think that's what the issue is.
You're not giving up what you would be giving up for Rudy Gobert to get the 15 points a game he could offer you. You're getting him to prevent people from going to the rim like they're in the easy pass lane and being able to just go at will to the rim. So he would be coming here for defensive reasons, and the offense that he would provide would be a bonus, right?
I mean, absolutely, unequivocally. You try to make your team better, period, end of story, by making your team more defensive. Now, listen, even as we talk about next year and even as we look at the draft and the future of this team, Lonzo Ball is such an important part of what's going to happen. If he is damaged goods and he's not able to play, I mean, maybe we're wasting our breath to a certain extent here because, you know, I get it. You can fill in that position, but that guy really made them go early in the year. And if he's only able to play 35 games a year, it's going to be awful hard for them to be the team we want.
It's the question they won't be able to answer, regardless of how often we ask it rhetorically or directly if we get to a chance to talk to some of the Bulls executives. But if they stand pat and if they embrace the continuity that AK has said he values, is it partly because of the uncertainty surrounding Lonzo Ball's knee? Because if he were fully healthy, would they be more aggressive? And if he isn't fully healthy, does that put them at a different stage in their development and maybe thinking more long-term or maybe not this year necessarily? The immediacy wouldn't be as great. The urgency wouldn't feel as great. And would you, in that case, in that context, stay with a guy like Patrick Williams rather than going out and get Rudy Gobert? Because if you go out and get Rudy Gobert, you're announcing you're immediately ready to challenge the Bucks, the Sixers.
Yeah.
The Celtics.
Yeah.
those teams.
I mean, listen, it would be a really wild kind of it would be the kind of deal that would change the way that the Bulls look and the way that they would operate. And it would challenge Billy Donovan. But I think he's up for that challenge. I think they'd look better. I think that it would happen faster. They're in win-now mode. They are not, like, you know, DeMar DeRozan is not getting younger here. He's not defying nature.
No.
So at some point, you know, you're going to have to worry about that. But right now, bring back Zach. You've got a couple of guys that can be high-volume scorers. Get yourself a defensive center. Get everybody healthy so you got your defense fixed and you don't have to worry about DeMar and Zach as two-way players.
And go ahead and challenge Billy Donovan. Make it hard as possible for him to figure out what to do with Rudy Gobert at the end of a game, whether or not to keep him on the court because he can't shoot a free throw in crunch time. Great. Give him all of those possibilities to ponder. There's no challenge too great for Billy Donovan to figure out. He is the best coach in town, in Chicago right now, that we have among our professional sports teams. And whatever it is that would be in front of him, he could handle. So that would be a great problem to have. What do I do? How, do we have enough offense with Rudy Gobert protecting the rim and Zach and DeMar scoring 25 a night? And how do we fit a healthy Lonzo Ball and Alex Caruso onto the floor? Can we win with those four guys and Rudy? Yeah, I think you can. I think you can.
Yeah, I think you feel really good about the possibilities for the Bulls. And I think it's going to be fun to see what this team looks like tomorrow. But if it doesn't look a lot better, I think I'm going to be hugely disappointed. They got to do something. They must do something.
Does it depend on who they draft at 18? Could you conceivably see yourself, I guess see us because we're kind of looking at this the same way. Do you think that, all right, everything we just said, as valid as it is, then tonight they pick a player we really like at 18, like say EJ Liddell or somebody like that, and we come in tomorrow and we rationalize it and we say, you know, all right, I can see because of the way that he, you know, plays or what he has to offer that it's okay now. Do you think we're going to do that tomorrow?
You know, I think that we'll probably come to terms with whatever happens. I'm just saying, if all they get is the addition of a draft pick, I think I'm going to be a little bit disappointed. That's all.
Especially if it's a draft pick that's somewhat obscure, that feels like a project, and that isn't somebody that could be an immediate rotational piece, I know I will be disappointed.
Yeah, I mean, listen, if they end up getting Blake Wesley, a guy that I think should go, I think he's among like the top 15 players in this draft. If he ends up being their selection at 18, and you're thinking, okay, maybe not this year, maybe next year, you know, maybe you then see what's going to happen post DeMar DeRozan with, with the Bulls moving forward. Then it's more of a longer-term kind of rebuild, whereas I think Liddell, because he's a junior and a little bit older,
he's 22,
probably more likely to help immediately.
Good distinction, and that's probably why I asked the question. I like what Liddell offers immediately for whatever team that drafts him, but if Blake Wesley were to end up in Chicago, I would like – a lot of things about that pairing. I think he would come, obviously, from a quality program at Notre Dame, a quality family that I know, and there'd be that local connection that it'd be impossible for me not to be excited about. So that's why I'm leaving a little bit of hope there, or I guess I'm qualifying what I'm saying. I am all in, and I've got the piece of paper, Rudy Gobert, no matter what. But if they end up with a guy like Blake Wesley, if they end up with an EJ Liddell, I could get behind that from an enthusiasm standpoint.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's always fun.
It is fun.
The draft is fun. It's going to be fun to see what happens at pick number four. We talked yesterday with Ryan McDonough about it. I thought he was outstanding. I loved some of his responses. You know, the idea that, you know, it's a strange comp to say, think about Jimmy Butler and how things went in Chicago when you think about Rudy Gobert and how things went in Utah. but I think it's a strong comp. I think it is something about, you know, the kind of the man changing hands from one guy to another and some reluctant about it.
Right.
I think it's a different deal. You know, I heard we've all heard Rudy Gobert say whatever the hell he wants to say. A guy like that's always welcome. Don't you love honesty and truthfulness, even at the cost of some player feelings, some teammates' feelings? As an outsider, I love that kind of thing. If I'm coaching the team, I probably have a completely different perspective.
Well, that's but true.
It's cool.
And it is pretty cool. And I think it would create some fascinating dynamics in the Bulls locker room. At the same time, I don't think that the Bulls culture is so fragile anymore that it couldn't withstand some of these changes, some of this, you know, some of these difficult, not difficult personalities, but strong personalities. I think they could absorb a lot of that because they have strong leadership, a pretty clear direction, and also players who understand what winning is all about now. And I don't think those questions exist any longer about Zach LaVine. I think we know what DeMar DeRozan is, and those guys are leading, you know, the direction. And if you add Rudy Gobert to that, challenging, yes. Impossible, not at all.
Yeah, I mean, it's just going to be fun. It's going to be fun to see what happens, even if nothing happens. And I hate to say that because something needs to happen, but it will be interesting, and I'm looking forward to it. I'm also looking forward to seeing Lennon Sosa. Now, the problem with all this stuff, let's say the Bulls draft a replacement player, then you immediately think, well, what's wrong with the guy they have at that spot? If they're redundant about it, then you wonder. The idea that Lennon Sosa's on the way, and apparently that was tweeted out first by the family that hosts him in Birmingham. That means
Alabama, not England.
That means, yeah, I'm sorry. I see Birmingham.
I mean, that's one heck of an overnight flight.
Thank you. Birmingham.
He might be a little jet lagged.
Isn't that for Buddy Python? At any rate, Lennon Sosa being brought up means bad news about Danny Mendick. And that looked bad. He looked like he was in serious pain. So your second baseman, the guy that you thought was going to be your second baseman, sorry, Josh Harrison, Danny Mendick,
right,
now down. So you're bringing a guy up from Double A? And that's pretty fascinating.
It is pretty fascinating. Okay, so before we get to the cause, let's get to the effect. The effect is Sosa is possibly coming from Double A, making the jump, skipping a step, and going to help the White Sox because of Danny Mendick's injury. The headline in Chicago is, Chicago welcomes Sosa. And I think the Sox are going to be thrilled to get a second baseman infielder to plug into that equation. Also, I think you're excited about Sosa, but did you see what also is possibly happening? Gavin Sheets is coming back. So the effect of what happened yesterday,
Shudder,
is Sheets and Sosa could be joining the White Sox as early as tonight against the Orioles. And the cause is because Danny Mendick went down in that ugly collision with Adam Haseley in left field. Also because of the situation with Adam Engel having to be removed with the tight hamstring. And that sounds like that would be the Gavin Sheets role, right, Mully?
Yes.
I think so.
Yes.
Adam Engel looks like he's headed for the IL.
Right.
And it sounds as if Luis Robert, who was removed as well for some tightness or whatever, that he is supposed to play today. So I guess that's a relief because the other injury news was bad.
Yeah. I mean, you know, here's the thing. I don't think that Danny Mendick or Adam Engel are your most important Sox players. And in fact, they are kind of reserves and guys that, you know, break glass in case of emergency. But the fact is, you lost two starters yesterday while losing a game. And the fact is, your depth is already challenged because of a lot of the injuries that you're suffering, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now your depth is even more challenged. So it's not a nice turn of events. I love the idea we get to see a 22-year-old Lennon Sosa, who began the year in single A, moves up to double A, skips triple A now, and is coming to the major leagues. It's very cool. I also think you can't expect him to kind of come in and Yerminator the deal, right?
You're right.
It's a totally different type of thing that's happening here. So hopefully, you know, some of the numbers that he's put up and some of the patience that was shown with him when he first got to double A, when he first got to single A, you'll get that in the majors. It doesn't feel that way, though. It feels like you either produce or you're
Back down. It does seem that way. And I think, though, it sounds like they're getting a young man who's pretty dedicated and reported a month early to spring training. He's been there since January and began this ascent that now ends bringing him to Chicago. So there's a lot to like, but I do think we need to temper that enthusiasm, have realistic expectations. This is somebody making quite a leap, and we don't know how much he's going to be used. The sense, though, would be if he's coming up, Mully, you've got to think that you don't want a 22-year-old to sit on the bench very often. And so you wonder how many times per week does that mean he's going to play, how long he is here. But it's an opportunity. He could stick if he plays, if he produces, and if he provides a spark. Let's wait and see. The other thing, though, is just unfortunate with Mendick just now having sort of arrived, coming into his own, providing a value that we really, did not take for granted. And he was playing shortstop. Adam Haseley, there was that fly ball in foul territory. I've watched it a ton of times, like every White Sox fan probably has. Yes, the outfielder has the right of way there.
Yes.
Yes, it's up to him to maybe call him off and acknowledge that the communication stinks with the White Sox defense.
Oh, boy.
But if you're Adam Haseley in that point and you see how fast Danny Mendick is going after that ball, it's like I said before the show, it's like if someone's veering at you but you still have the right of way, do you keep going just because you have the right of way? I mean, I know what Haseley was probably thinking, but Danny Mendick was committed to catching that ball. I might have just peeled away.
Let's take a listen.
In the air, third base side. Berger and Mendick toward the line. Haseley as well. And Haseley runs into Danny Mendick, who's down on the dirt. Haseley came running in. Danny got sideswiped. The inning is over, but the carnage is not.
Well, Haseley comes away with the baseball, and Danny is still in the dirt. I don't know if anybody called anybody off or anybody took control of that. This is almost in no man's land. Danny goes out again. Haseley makes the catch, but a forearm shiver to the chest sends Danny sprawling.
They also connected leg to leg.
Okay, so I was hoping it was just a bone bruise, or not bone bruise, just a bruise. I was hoping it was like a hip pointer. I think Gordon suggested that in the post game. But if you're bringing up a guy, well, first of all, is Yoan Moncada coming back? Is he going to have a season? Is Tim Anderson okay? Is he going to stay healthy? So they had to let Tim sit down because they didn't want to play him three games.
And they didn't even pinch hit him.
Well, and they wouldn't use him at all.
Thank you, David. I mean, was I the only one who was screaming on my couch?
No, come on.
You got one out. Bases are loaded. If you were sticking with the game, which all of us were,
They
got the bases loaded with one out. Yeah. Two opportunities. You could have put him in either
and
spot.
There's Josh Harrison for
who
you,
infield flies, okay? Yeah. Infield flies. Infield. And then Lurie Garcia almost tripping over his feet, swinging so hard to try to get a hit, grounds out Weakley to second.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Just to finish the thought, though, there is worry about Tim if you don't use him in that situation, right? And we know Moncada is on the 10-day again, right? Josh Harrison has done medium well, if you may order a steak too high for Dustin's preference. That's about it. It's not like he's killing it. He's doing fine. How long does that last?
Well,
and if that doesn't last, if he reverts back to what he was, if Jake Berger's progress doesn't continue to get better. I mean, and I'm not saying it won't. I'm saying these are the things that have to be in the back.
There's
of your
a lot
head.
To consider. There are a lot of factors you have to weigh. And I think that when you bring in Lennon Sosa, you hope Rick Hahn's best hope is that he plays so well that you remove some of these concerns about injury, about inconsistency, and he is this revelation somehow. Because everybody that you just mentioned has something about him that you wonder about, that you question, that you doubt, whether it's health or inconsistency or a combination of both.
Age?
Yeah, age.
And I don't know this, but I wonder, choosing Lennon Sosa over Yolbert Sanchez, right? So Sanchez started in Double A, then moved into Triple A. One guy appears to be ahead of the other guy, but you chose the other guy. Is there a factor of duplication? Is there a factor of, Josh Harrison can do what Yolbert's doing? Sosa's a little different.
That doesn't bother me as much. I think that's probably a valid way to look at it, or I understand why you would, but I just think it might be as simple as Sosa has the skill set and he's hot and he's begun this arc and he's gone in this direction that maybe they want to take advantage of that and maybe they're willing to skip a step. I don't know, but they do have a lot of guys with a lot of issues. And it's how do they all fit together. I wish I had more confidence in the manager's ability to mix and match the right guys at the right time.
And when we talked to one of our buddies from Future Sox, they were saying the Sox were looking at both guys. They were in Birmingham and they were in Charlotte and they were evaluating who would be the better second.
What's a better fit?
That's what I'm asking.
Were probably trying to see.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Yeah, and I think probably they determined that Sosa, based on the way he's played and the way he's continued, different, and the way he's continued to, do whatever is necessary, make the proper adjustments at every level, and still be somebody who stands out.
And Romy Gonzalez, who was kind of last year's revelation, guy that forced his way onto the 40-man and made his way up to the major leagues, he's apparently been injured, he's been out, he's been struggling. So he's been going through different stuff, as players do. So it wasn't his turn, and now, what's amazing about Lennon Sosa is at the age of 22, he's passing other options up.
Yes.
And that's always interesting. And I know that the White Sox minor league system is looked at askew, but, Double A versus Triple A, it's interesting.
Let me ask you a question to ponder as we get ready to break for the pick six, and we'll get back to this. Does that collision happen if A.J. Pollock is playing left field?
And A.J. Pollock ended up having to play left field. And I would say Adam Haseley looked like he was uncomfortable in left field. I don't know how often he's played it, but he's a left-handed player. Did you see when when the guy got a double and he tossed the ball in like it was, what the hell are you
he
doing?
Did not look comfortable for a defensive-minded outfielder, a guy who's on the roster for his glove playing left field.
All right, we got tons to go over. The pick six is next. It's Mully and Haw. Draft Day on Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Malik Hall, 5:30 till 10 a.m. on 670 The Score.
It's Pick Six with Mullion Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mullion Haw starts now.
What should the put the White Sox fans more on tilt? This morning, another Lucas Giolito lemon, TLR starter Adam Haseley in left field, leading to the Danny Mendick collision, two starters exiting the game to injury, or another tease at 500 blowing up?
I believe all those things would put you on tilt. I think the 500 tease upset a lot of people that I know. I think there was confusion of what the hell's going on in left field with Haseley looking as uncomfortable in the collision. And obviously Danny Mendick leaving and not being able to come back, and you're calling up a guy now because you need cover. And, of course, Adam Engel leaving and you're calling up a guy because you need cover. Those are bad things. But the one thing that kind of has everyone on tilt, in my opinion, is Lucas Giolito. The idea that he who was once the ace of this staff doesn't look like he's worth a damn right now. Looks like he's throwing one pitch consistently, and that's it. And people are sitting on that now. I just think that Giolito, as his fortunes go, maybe so do the White Sox, because you got a totally unexpected thing from Johnny Cueto. And Lance Lynn has been out. And, you know, Dylan Cease was great to see him back. Kopech, you don't know how long he's going to go. If Giolito is a guy that you believe is going to pitch and pitch consistently and be good, he started the season great, and his last five starts are a train wreck.
There are no wrong answers to this question based on the options, but that is the right one. That is the right one. Lucas Giolito clearly coming out of yesterday rates as the biggest concern of everything that happened. And it was all bad. I mean, White Sox joy seems to come with an expiration date. It's like, you better enjoy within the next 24 hours, because something's going to expire soon, and it's going to be your good feelings and your good vibes, babe, about the White Sox. Because you come out of yesterday, and it's like, oh my gosh, what happened to that feeling of invincibility that you felt after, or that feeling of like things were hitting, you know, reset again after that 4-hour and 23-minute marathon that they finally showed resilience and came back and started over? No, no, no. Okay, so you look at the injuries, Mendick and Engel, and those things aren't good. Sheets and Sosa coming up. All those things are interesting and important. But you can't afford the loss of a core player or the lack of consistency from a guy supposedly who is your ace like Lucas Giolito.
I'm sorry, David, but you're wrong. There is only one correct answer here, and the rest of them are all wrong. The answer to the question is Lucas Giolito.
Yeah, I just got shelled.
All right, that's one. The over-under's 36. That thing is going to get
there
abused.
With his own sound, man.
That thing is going to get abused today. Okay, I got shelled.
Hold on. Yeah, I just got shelled.
This was about two
that's
things
two.
For you. This answer was about two things for you. Number one, you wanted to be the big guy and point to Brandon and say, use my sound, Brandon. And the
That's
other thing
it.
Was you wanted to say, David, you are wrong.
Wow. Now you're right. Also, if you were watching on Twitch, I had an epic eye roll, and I'm surprised that Mully didn't catch this, or maybe he was just being nice
I
in the first
it.
Segment of the yeah. show. But now you're going to tell me that a guy who's known for defense can't play left field? He looked a little uncomfortable. So this is like the closer who can't take the ball in the eighth with a guy on second because he needs a clean inning. And on the scoreboard, the nine needs to be illuminated. Or if you're at Wrigley, the nine needs to be in the green scoreboard. Give me a break.
Where did Andrew Vaughn talk? Was it to The Athletic? I don't know where it was, where he talked about he got really tired by the end of his rookie year last year because he came into camp and he's trying to make the team, and now he has to play in the outfield and he's never done that before. I know Haseley's an outfielder, but he's an outfielder playing right field, playing center. I don't know, Dustin. I don't know that you're being about as unforgiving a person as there is. Get out there and play the game. Take your shot at Toradol and get out there.
Chemistry between those two players. None. When you're talking about a shortstop, that's a fill-in shortstop.
Now we need chemistry between the shortstop and left fielder.
You need communication.
Give me a break. Yeah. I got it. It's little league stuff, David. I got it.
No, you don't.
If Haseley didn't say he got it, then shame on Haseley. But it's I got it. I think every single player on the field, the one position that probably every single guy on the field could probably play at an okay level that's a major league baseball player is left field. That's probably the easiest position to play.
Not in foul territory with the pop-up with three guys converging in the same spot.
He was playing on the other side, right?
Listen, he was positioned differently. We got Steve Stone at 8.
Yeah, we'll ask him.
We got Dempster at 9. Let's ask them whose ball it is. I mean, it's a pretty simple question.
Yeah, I think it is the outfielder's ball. I don't know that there was any communication, and I think that drop of I got it should be played as much as Lucas Giolito.
It's a pick six!
What is wrong with Lucas Giolito? He didn't play it. How do you explain his 9.47 ERA over the last 25 and two-thirds innings of work in his last five starts? Can you believe he's given up 9 home runs with a .357 batting average against 25 walks in just 11 Ks?
I just got shelled.
Yeah, those are terrible numbers. Those are Dallas Keuchel-like numbers. And this is a guy that is your supposed ace. This is not, I think, a product of him worried about a contract extension or the numbers. This is just a product of some faulty mechanics for whatever reason. And he's, you know, he can go into depth and you read it in The Athletic. And boy, if you want to really get into the weeds about what his mechanics are and what he's not doing and his spin rate and his velocity and all those things and factors that are contributing to the numbers that just stink out loud right now, you can do that. But he's just not getting it done. Here's what I wonder. Okay, you want a meatball thought?
Please.
He came into this season bulked up, different body. How did that affect his mechanics that are very difficult for him to find now when he needs them most? He's not doing the little things right. He's not having any success, and they can't afford this because this is a big problem. All the other problems are minuscule and minor in comparison. You cannot have your ace searching for answers as we approach midseason.
Yeah, you know, clearly he's lost velocity on his fastball, and it seems like he doesn't trust that pitch. And clearly he's been leaning on the changeup. And yesterday, anyway, they were sitting on it, and they hammered it. And I think that, unfortunately for Lucas Giolito, there is, you know, hints, rumors that his shoulder is sore, that he's got something physical going on. So that would make more sense to me than a lot of this other stuff, than whatever Josh Donaldson has to say or whatever. The idea that his base isn't balanced just because he started the year so good. So there's been some kind of shift with him where the velocity's been affected. And, you know, maybe MLB was slow to catch up with that being an issue. And maybe that explains why they're sitting on the changeup now. It's clearly the pitch he trusts most. And it's not a changeup. It's now a primary pitch, and that's not going to work.
Paging Ethan Katz. Is there an Ethan Katz?
He went out and visited him early, right?
He did. He did go out there early. They need to have like an emergency session, if you will. Maybe when you guys were driving in this morning, David, I know you drive past 35th and Shields on your way. Were the lights on?
The lights were on, I think. Yeah.
Were the lights on? Was there an emergency pitching session out there? Was there a bullpen? Were they breaking down some film? Were they playing it up on the wall?
No, cleaning session.
Gavin Sheets was taking batting practice.
Maybe it's the sticky stuff. Maybe he's missing the sticky stuff. Well, maybe there's. Hey, there could
then
be.
Explain how it didn't affect him that much a year ago, after your buddy Josh Donaldson, your favorite player, said that.
Oh, why is he my favorite guy?
Are you guys just dismissing the idea that I said about a different body? Do you think that's not even valid?
I'm not dismissing it.
I think it is very valid.
I think it is very valid. Yeah.
I resent the question.
Given Lucas Giolito's recent struggles.
Yeah, I just got shelled.
And the possibility the White Sox need 4 starting pitching help, would you suggest that Kyle Hendricks might be a smart speculation, or is that too wild of an idea?
So, Dustin, he put 4 in there because he was pointing out that's the 4th time he's played that cut. He just wants to play it all day.
Total's 36. Yeah, now it's 5.
Go. Yeah, so let's play the I got it cut from Dustin 35 times. No, you don't want to hear that.
No.
No, I got no interest in the Sox trading for Kyle Hendricks. I'm sorry. That just does. That seems like a guy in a little bit of crisis himself. I love the professor, and I know he's never relied on the fastball because he doesn't really have one. He's relied on pitching, and he's a good one. But I would not want to see what that would cost and what that would look like. No.
I don't think it would be a good fit in that ballpark, and I don't think that would necessarily be the first move that I would make or the first possibility I would explore if I'm Rick Hahn. I do think the question is interesting only because it underscores where this may be headed. I wonder if by the trade deadline, the White Sox, with all their other issues that we have dissected and talked about all season long, second base, right field, all these things that they don't have, I wonder if at the end of this, they're going to be a starting pitcher short.
Right.
And if they are,
Kyle,
well, exactly. And Kyle Hendricks is going to be a starting pitcher in town who's going to be shopped. So you have one team with the starting pitcher short and one team that is shopping their starting pitcher and their supposed ace. I don't know if the two will intersect, those needs and that desire to move Hendricks and the Sox wanting a starter. But I think the Sox will be in the market for a starting pitcher if this continues to trend in the wrong direction. I don't think the answer is Kyle Hendricks for them, though.
Let's sweeten the pot. Okay. Who else don't the Cubs supposedly want right now? And what could the Sox also use?
Package deal. Contreras and Hendricks?
Four.
Who would be coming back?
You know who I want?
Garrett Crochet.
Andrew Vaughn.
Okay. There's no way they're trading Andrew
Get
Vaughn.
Get out of the studio. It's time for you to go home. What the hell is that? That's not going to happen.
The Garrett Crochet thing is interesting and something I do think we need to talk about.
Yeah,
now, all of a sudden, he wants to be a starter.
He's always done with the relief role. No, he's always wanted to be
a
starter.
And this is his year to reset himself.
Well, can we have him remove the cast first before I want to trade for him?
Can we see the guy pitch, please?
Andrew Vaughn.
Get lost. No chance.
That's insane.
Dustin, did you change the question? Is that what happened?
Yes, that's what he did.
Are you happy to call Clint Frazier by his new name? Is it an accelerate his return to the Cubs? Do you feel like Frazier has declared his interest in being known as Jackson Frazier, his middle name that close family and friends have apparently been calling him already? Good idea to change your name while you're in AAA?
This is one of the more bizarre stories and questions I can recall. I did not know this was happening, and I don't know what is at the root of it. But imagine our guy Alex Cohen? Is that who the Iowa Cubs broadcaster is?
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And he was doing an interview, and Clint Frazier announced to him that he wanted to be referred to as Jackson Frazier. And I could just imagine the reaction in the midst of this interview where he's like, okay, that's news. That's different. Maybe it's part of the whole – maybe he's having a moment that he's hitting reset on a lot of things. He did not want to go to AAA. He's facing a crisis in confidence in terms of what he is as a Major League Baseball player. Maybe this is all part of the process and starting over. But if he wants to be called Jackson Frazier, I think he's entitled to be called whatever he wants, and we should respect that. But it is unusual to have this kind of this request made at this time in his career, which seems to be at a crossroads.
I mean, my only thought was it worked for Mike Stanton. He changed his name, and I don't think he did it in AAA. Listen, Clint Frazier, the former Clint Frazier, Jackson Frazier, has been a disappointment. There is a reason the Cubs decided to let him go instead of seeing what he can do, and there's a reason that no one in baseball jumped in. So we wound up in AAA with the Cubs. That's insane. If you think about it, if you just think about where he was drafted, what the expectations were, and then you get him here. And I really thought that was going to be a sneaky good move because away from New York, he was going to have a chance to do something. I really did.
In fairness, it started that way. Before the appendectomy, he was trending in the right direction.
And I, you know, the very fact that nobody in baseball jumped on that, I mean, just look around. There's a crisis here with guys going down and people getting hurt. And the idea that he's in AAA now with the team that DFA'd him is pretty amazing.
The Dodgers traded for Trace Thompson with Clint Frazier available, and they needed a right fielder.
Maybe they thought they wanted his brother to come out to the game and throw out the first pitch and maybe bring the trophy down and put those out on the mound. Maybe that was the idea behind it. Okay, so Jackson Frazier, I got that down now. I wanted more Frazier and less Hayward. That was something that I was yelling from the mountaintops. John Heyman, very funny tweet that I retweeted yesterday. With his new name, Jackson Frazier would have been good while he was in New York. Combines two iconic New York athletes. Since he's trying to get back to Chicago now, this is John Heyman. I'd suggest he go by Jordan Butkus or perhaps Ernie Pippen. I mean, obviously now we know why Frazier wasn't getting at bats, why Frazier was DFA'd, why nobody picked him up. I mean, the guy's having a mid-20s crisis. Give me a break.
Frazier Crane was used that as a first name. How about Frazier Clint?
I like it.
This is not an easy question to answer.
Will the Bulls be significantly better team tonight by the time the NBA draft is over, or at least when the 18th selection passes? Do you believe they make a deal tonight that changes their fortunes? How about one change that starts in the starting lineup?
Yeah, I don't think that the – I think unless they make a deal that I don't think they're going to draft someone at 18 that's going to be in the starting lineup. Let me put it that way. I think we know what their starting lineup looks like, and I don't think at the 18th pick in the draft they're going to find someone – they could find someone to contribute, but they're not going to find someone that needs to be a starter on the Chicago Bulls. And if they do, that means there's been terrible injury crisis or – surprise retirement because there was no extension, whatever it might be, somebody deciding not to play because their team is currently constituted, doesn't have room for another starter that you'd find at the 18th pick. So the question really is whether or not they're going to make a trade or they're going to get a significant addition somehow, and the only way to do that would be via trade because free agency doesn't start tonight. So I'll just put it this way. I sure as hell hope so. I hope they are different and have a different starting lineup by the end of the night.
I will keep clamoring and keep saying Rudy Gobert no matter what. I do think that is the right direction for this team. I do think that it takes something to get something. Patrick Williams would be the guy who they would have to part with, and I do think that would be a move they would not regret. That said, I really don't think the percentages favor that move. I think we're going to come in here tomorrow trying to figure out how this rotational piece fits into the rotation, how Billy Donovan will get the most out of E.J. Liddell or Jalen Williams or Jalen Duren, somebody like that who fits into the – maybe it's Blake Wesley. That would be exciting for me, for us, and for Chicago. But I just think that is probably the odds-on favorite move. If you're betting this, if you're looking at this, if you're expecting them to make a big, bold move tonight, you might be disappointed. I think we're going to be a little disappointed, even though, to me, that is the right move to make.
I want the best three-point shooter available. I'm still going to keep saying that that is the issue, and I would like to take Rudy's $47 million player option that he has in like 2 years and spend that differently. I don't want Rudy. I don't. I'm sorry. I'm going to be the guy that doesn't want Rudy. I get that he could change things, but they have to have somebody to hit a three-pointer. What did you guys think about the CBS Sports mock draft, though, that had Johnny Davis out of Wisconsin?
How about
that? Possibility?
That would be a significant drop for him.
That would be. Yeah, he's like the ninth-rated prospect. That would be a big drop, and I think he could have an impact right away.
That's the beauty of 18, is if someone drops – you could have somebody that somehow drops too far.
Well, I also think that's why you allow that little bit of sliver of optimism or hope or why we're going to come in here tomorrow. We could, if they get Johnny Davis like that, you think, well, you could live with that.
Pick six! Wow!
As PGA Tour Commissioner Jay Monahan revealed increased purses for future events, he also called the new Saudi-funded LIV Tour an irrational threat to the tour. What was your reaction? Will he change? He announced stop golfers like Bruce
Koepka from bolting.
I don't think they're going to stop guys like Brooks Koepka from bolting. I don't think you can stem the tide necessarily now. But I respect what he was doing. I respect what he was trying to prevent from happening, and that is this mass exodus from the PGA Tour. I give them credit for not standing pat, number one, by trying to increase the payouts, by trying to make it more attractive to stay. All those things which you think would already be in the works and all those things, you know, it's a very lucrative profession anyway. But still, this is trying to sweeten the pot. I also like the fact that he did not spare the Saudi-funded LIV Tour any criticism. He did not hold back. He called it an irrational threat, and then he continued to point out why this is such a problem and why the PGA Tour feels so betrayed. And they should. And he should continue to keep the heat on and point out why this is a betrayal from guys like Brooks Koepka, who made his money on the PGA Tour, that he is now leaving.
Yeah, I like that Rory McIlroy called the guys that are talking about LIV Golf duplicitous, that they have said one thing and now they're acting in another fashion. And certainly Brooks Koepka fits that mold. Does anyone like Brooks Koepka? Is he a popular human? It doesn't appear so. And I think there's a lot of those kind of guys with LIV Golf. And, you know, Phil has turned himself into one. So congratulations to them on the money. It's good that the PGA is trying to respond. And I don't know that it's an existential threat. I don't know that it is not a legitimate threat. I think that, you know, you can easily say that it would be irrational for the sports washing to continue. But who runs out of money first? Who runs out of money first? If you're just talking about purses, that the Saudi Arabia fund can go as long as you want, and I got a feeling that if you drive by a gas station these days, you're going to understand that maybe they need more money for the LIV Golf purses.
Well, Monahan said that's something they can't do. They can't outspend a monarchy. They can't. So they will lose. I have really mixed emotions on this whole thing, but I get when you're guaranteed $100 million, okay, my USA, USA, USA might be bought in for $100 million. I am as pro-American as they come, but if I was offered $100 million to go produce sports talk radio for the Saudis, the LIV Golf Radio Network, I think I'd probably have to go. Mitch, right? I mean, come on. I mean, it's just, you know, Odyssey doesn't have $100 million, and they do.
What if you had made $30 million by being a valued producer, a successful producer, and then you were offered
then
that?
Then I think I would hope that I could stay with my morals. I do, because I think I would have trouble spending $30 million. But like, I think I'd stay, but I think Mrs. Rhodes might have something to say about that.
I like that you raised your hand, David. That was a very nice thing to do. You did very well there. Did you see that, David? Raised
radio,
his hand
radio
to make
pro.
His point. Yeah,
something I teach at the Illinois Media School.
That's right.
Yeah, well, good
That's
for you.
Right. I learned.
Do you teach the word boughten? Just out of curiosity. 312-644 bought would be the word. There's no boughten. You've said it a few times, but it doesn't exist. It's another made up Dustin word. In a good way.
What's the word?
Bought. My. You're saying that you couldn't be bought.
The word is break.
Yeah, the word is
boughten.
You said boughten. You say that sometimes. It's okay. Ding. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, live and local, Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Set up this extra point.
It's time for the Extra Point with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
We also invited Daniel Snyder to testify today. But rather than show up and take responsibility for his actions, he chose to skip town. Apparently, Mr. Snyder is in France, where he has docked his luxury yacht near a resort town. That should tell you just how much respect he has for women in the workplace.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Wow, Roger Goodell in front of Congress. That is funny, weird, crazy stuff. And Nothing to look at here, says Roger.
Nothing to look at here.
I have nothing I can do.
The thing that stood out to me, and I'm curious to see if it stood out to you, both of you guys, when he said, I have no power to remove Daniel Snyder as the owner of the Washington Commanders, he's exactly right. He's exactly right, because only a vote, a majority, two-thirds majority vote by the owners in the NFL can do that. So he does not have any power. I'm sorry. He does not have the authority to do that as a commissioner. Doesn't he have the power?
Well,
doesn't he have the power? If this is bad enough, he could recommend this vote be taken. He could push this idea, because what we're going to find out, I think, is that this Daniel Snyder thing, and it's not just a Daniel Snyder thing. These are some serious allegations. And if they are proven to be even remotely true in the direction this is headed, this is the power that you want to exert if you are the commissioner, I would think, and it is a three-quarters majority, so you need 24 of 32 NFL owners to vote out a guy like Snyder.
Carolyn Maloney, the Democrat from New York, a representative, announced that they're going to subpoena Daniel Snyder after he was unavailable for this. They're going to bring him in next week. I am with you. I think that Goodell, he admitted that he doesn't have the power to get rid of Daniel Snyder. Now, I think he has the power to cover for Daniel Snyder, and I think that that's probably what the conclusion is going to be by the time this is all said and done. Now, I think that what's going on with the Washington Commanders is awful, and I think that it should have been addressed differently, but I think that there are owners that are afraid to go after him for fear that it damages themselves.
Well,
it somehow
it opens a door that they don't want open.
And it reveals information, or allows him to potentially reveal information that could backfire on them. So I think that everyone is operating out of their best interest. Roger Goodell makes millions, $50 million plus, by staying out of the way and doing the owner's bidding. That's why Roger Goodell was hired. He wasn't hired to be an independent thinker. He works for the owners. And I wouldn't doubt it. Does it mean he doesn't have power? It means he has exactly the power that you would imagine.
He does have the power, but he says he does not technically have the authority. There's a subtle but significant difference.
Yeah, there's a thin line there. But Mully, I think you hit it on the head when you said he's covering. He's not only covering for Snyder, he's covering for all the owners, and for the reason that once if this happens, every single one of these owners will be looked into. Will the possibility exists. And owning an NFL team is like a cash station of unlimited resources. There are plenty of groups of people or rich people out there that would love to own an NFL team, and I'm sure they would use the resources that they have and the power that they have, maybe with the government, private investigators, to dig up all kinds of dirt on NFL owners so that the team would have to be put up for sale, and then they could slide in and buy this. But the real big issue here is that the NFL has a real problem. Their overall disrespect for females and women is kind of out of control.
Well, that's the thing that I wonder, does every NFL owner have concerns that this is going to open Pandora's box to the point where they're going to find and uncover the same type of things that are alleged against Daniel Snyder?
Everybody's got a skeleton in the closet.
Is every culture that bad in every NFL franchise?
I think that's too far. I don't think every culture is like that. But if you start uncovering stones, turning stones over, I think you'd find something on every single NFL owner out there that would not be flattering. But the NFL needs to address their, in my opinion, just like, we don't care about females. I mean, they are, as a league, it's been disrespectful from owners to players. I mean, the NFL, it doesn't matter that the quarterback for the Cleveland Browns has settled. That has no bearing on what we are going to do as far as punishment. Then what are you waiting for?
Those two things are related to me. Roger Goodell says he's powerless to do anything with Daniel Snyder. And also, we're still waiting for discipline against Deshaun Watson. When did he become so weak and why?
It was taken away from him, right? CBA, they negotiated that out. He is not judge and jury anymore.
Yeah, that's true. But I think that what you said is true, Dustin. You know, I'm not a big Jim Jordan guy, but did you see that particular area where he wanted to know why Dave Portnoy was banned and why they didn't why Jack Del Rio was fined? And Goodell didn't really have every answer at his fingertips, but he said of Jack Del Rio, well, that was Ron Rivera's decision. So he separated what was currently happening with Washington from his venue. Daniel Snyder, this guy is a piece of work. And I not a fan. Not a fan in any way. And goodness gracious, it's a horror story. But Goodell successfully dodged a lot of questions, I thought.
He was elusive as any NFL all-pro running back would want to be.
That's no doubt about
dodging it. Dodging everybody.
312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
Mully and Haw.
No better way to wake up in the morning than with you two.
Live and local. Chicago Sports Talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Here's the 0-2. Thompson to Madris. Swing and a miss. Strike three. And the Pirates go down in order in the fifth.
Just going back out and reestablishing what he does well, pounding the zone, getting ahead of hitters, on the attack. Didn't get scared out of the zone after the home run. Continued to, be efficient with his pitches. What do you have, 90 through 6? So that was pretty good job just attacking with his strengths and just built on his last start and showed if he pitches like he's capable of in his way, then he'll be all right.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That's David Ross, and he's talking about the big victory. Cubs beating the Pirates 14-5. They scored seven in the second, and Ian Happ with the two-run home run. Patrick Wisdom, a two-run single, and Ortega, the two-run double. And, again, I think we've seen them put up some football scores against that team, against the Pirates. And after losing a couple of games, to come back and to get a really nice nice performance from Keegan Thompson, as you heard Rossi talking about. And then you're going for what we like to call the Dustin split.
You need the split.
Because I believe he called for the split.
Yeah. Early game today, 11 o'clock pregame here on the Score with Zach from Pittsburgh. The Cubs need to split. That was fun for them. They needed that badly. Ian Happ is on fire in June.
Yep.
Things are going well for Ian Happ. You like to see that. Also, Keegan Thompson, six innings, only gives up one run on four hits. The last two outings, 16 strikeouts, one earned run, and only two walks. That's the kind of performance you want from a young pitcher when you talk about this development. And the Cubs have been disappointed the last couple starts. Caleb Killian, Matt Swarmer, those are guys that maybe aren't as ready for this opportunity as Keegan Thompson and today's starter Justin Steele are. So they needed that as well. Fun finish last night.
Sure.
Well, David Roberts. If you like this sort of thing, but it's happening more and more across MLB, the position player throwing. So David Robertson, gets a chance. First time in 696 career games, he gets in at bat. And David Ross lets him hit, and he does not take advantage of it.
Yeah, you see why he's not hitting.
Yeah, you see why he's a pitcher. that did not go so well.
Pretty funny. So how important is this game for Justin Steele?
Just continue to progress, continue to show consistency. Looking forward to talking to Ryan Dempster at 9 o'clock, Justin, what he sees in these two guys specifically. Because I think, in fairness to Swarmer and Killian, who I don't think, as we said, might be as ready to take that next step, Steele and Thompson, they've already gone through those growing pains last year. And so Justin Steele needs to be more efficient, or as efficient as he was his last time out, and continue to just show the command and continue to progress and be consistent, because that is a guy as a left-hander in this rotation that can really be valuable.
Yeah, and again, Jose Quintana is on the bump, another one of Dustin's favorites, guy that he holds a grudge against because he didn't play well enough unless it was the Brewers when he was with the Cubs. I got a lot of time for Jose Quintana. I hope that he does well. Obviously, I hope the Cubs do better. But I don't. He's not on my list like he is on Dustin's, but he was significantly better with the Sox and the Cubs.
I don't know why that he would be on anybody's list.
I agree.
Quintana, while not fulfilling maybe the promise of a trade that will be talked about for years as it has since it happened because of the haul that the Sox got for Jose Quintana. Aloy Jimenez, Dylan Cease, everybody knows. But Jose Quintana is about as nice of a guy as you're ever going to find in a major league clubhouse. I can still remember his first start for the White Sox and the way that he came through and how he came out of nowhere in his story that he came over
from the Yankees
and he was kind of forgotten and he could not have been a nicer guy. And I always will remember the year he was an all-star, happened to be on the same flight headed to San Diego and his family was with him and it just meant so much to him. He's an easy guy to root for regardless of whatever grudge Dustin is holding against him.
He just didn't play well enough with the Cubs, and Dustin took it personally. When guys don't play well enough with the Cubs, Dustin gets upset.
I get
it's
it.
As simple as that.
I get it.
We're waving pom-poms for Jose Quintana right now?
He's a good guy. Yeah.
He's a nice human being.
Yeah.
Congratulations. Do you realize what went back for Jose Quintana?
Yeah, I do. I just said it. I just repeated it. That is irrelevant to the kind of person that he is and why he's easy to root for. I mean,
what went back for him is easy to root against him because of that. Doesn't mean he's a bad guy.
So did he cut the deal? Was he the guy who said you can have Dylan Cease and take Aloy as well? Was that what happened?
No, he wasn't.
Okay, so why be cruel to him? I mean,
how am I being cruel?
I hope
the Cubs beat the Pirates and Jose Quintana. That's what I hope.
I heard you say this morning that you called him your favorite guy sarcastically, and you said you wanted him to be not you called
pounded.
It a
I might have
thing.
Used the word pounded.
Yeah.
Not literally, figuratively.
I think you meant it. I know how you meant it.
I hope the Cubs win 2-1. Quintana gets a no decision.
You know what I really want the Cubs to do to him today?
Yeah, I just got shelled.
That's what I want to have happen.
Do you want Quintana to say that?
I want Quintana to get shelled like Lucas was shelled
play
yesterday.
That cut 34 times.
36.
You want Quintana to get Giolito'd?
No, I just got shelled.
You're going to have to just do a segment of playing that cut to just satisfy the guy. Does that seem right? Is that a good role for an executive producer? Play the cut again. Play that cut.
Yeah, I just got shelled.
Wow. Okay, he's doing it.
Hopefully that's what the Cubs will do to Quintana.
Yeah, I hope the Cubs win.
David wants Jose Quintana to throw a perfect game against the Cubs today. You can hear it starting at 11 o'clock.
No, I did not say that. He's a really nice guy. I said I want the Cubs to win 2-1, Quintana get a no decision, and I do like the guy.
It's fair to
He's
like
He's one
the
of
guy.
My favorite
guy's been in town.
Pitchers who's come through town here in the last 10 years.
How about a homecoming for him at 35th and Shields? You need some pitching help. Pirates probably give him up for nothing.
Would you consider that? For nothing.
It depends how desperate you are at the trade deadline.
I'll take him for nothing if they throw in O'Neill Cruz.
I take that. And it depends how often that Lucas Giolito is saying this after his next starts.
Yeah, I just got shelled.
Boy, now you're doing it.
I had nothing to do with that one.
I'm pointing. Bad influence.
It's bad enough having to watch it. Having to listen to this after the fact.
Too bad we don't have that 360 machine over there anymore.
Yeah.
All right, we've got to get to some other topics. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, today is draft day, baby. So we're all going to be happy with the new look Bulls.
Okay.
They're turning the franchise around.
Yep.
Maybe.
Rudy Gobert, no matter what.
Rudy go Sox. Rudy go Cub. Rudy go Bull.
Let's talk draft.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Yeah, I just got shelled.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.